Yo, guys. Welcome back to In the Frame Podcast, episode 62. My name is Alberto Mendoza, and tonight's special guest is Joel Espejel. He is a content creator out of the Inland Empire who actually works with his wife, which is pretty cool to hear. And we discuss a variety of topics and how the importance of having retainer clients has been vital for his media company. And we also talk about the ups and downs of client feedback and just dealing with certain like bad clients. We get pretty deep with this, man. I think you're gonna really like this episode. And we also discuss Facebook marketing. We discuss how gear doesn't really matter, as always. If you guys are at it right here, if you're on YouTube, make sure you guys hit the subscribe button. If you're on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and a review. And if you're on Spotify, make sure you guys share it to your social media. So catch you guys in the episode. Peace. Yo, guys. Welcome back to In the Frame Podcast, episode 62 with our boy Joel. Let's get it cracking.
What up?
That's a fly ass watch, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
Jeez, man.
Cheers.
Ooh, it's good stuff. Dream trip. About to get a dream trip. Joel, man, what's going on, dude? Long time coming.
Yes,
how you been? How you been?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Thanks for making the drive all the way down from San Bernardino?
Adelanto. So it's a little bit even further up.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Is that still considered like the Inland Empire,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's okay. Like borderline. Not even borderline, actually. Yeah.
Like you're in the heart of.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, damn, man. Well, welcome to San Diego, northern part of San Diego.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the Potter, man. Yo, let's get it going, man.
Definitely, man.
How'd you get into the camera space?
Straight into it, huh?
Straight into it, man. Yeah.
So I started about 5 years ago. No. What are we, 2021? I started 2015. So six years ago. In high school, we started doing film. I took a film class. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it just kind of started like snowballing. And from there, it was just like junior year I started. Just kind of like touching cameras here and there.
Were you into cameras when you were in high school? Or
yeah, I was. This is funny. I don't want to mention that part, but now that you brought it up, I guess I have to.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it, bring it. So I used to do shuffling videos. You guys remember shuffling?
Oh, yeah.
Like the dance?
Like shuffling, yeah, the dance.
Yeah, we had a friend who did that.
Yeah.
Everyone knew a friend that
okay,
did that.
Okay, yeah. So that was like, 2012?
Yeah.
It's okay. So I used to do all the videos. I used to record and edit them. And everybody would be like, dude, I want you to record my video because you record super sick.
So you would record yourself?
Yeah, I would record myself with those little Sony Handycams.
Okay.
Yeah.
So put it on sticks and then just let it rip.
No, I would just put it like on the floor or hold it and walk around and stuff. Like,
got it.
It like that. And then I would edit on Sony Vegas.
Okay.
Mm. So that's how I started getting into cameras. And then after that was junior year, I got into film. Senior year, I did film too. So like second, more advanced film. And we started studying like movies and like what the director was trying to do. And that's what started getting me more into film more professionally.
Gotcha.
So after that, I just started shooting car photo shoots. That was what I just wanted to start doing. At that time, I had a Supra fixing it up. So I was like in the car community.
They had a Supra?
Yeah, I had a 90s Supra.
Shit.
So a Mark III. But I mean, still, you know, yeah, we had fixed it up. My dad and I, we did engine, everything.
10-second car?
10-second car, I wish.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. So we did that. And then I just started doing that. I would charge like $50 per photo shoot.
Uh-huh.
For a car guys, you know.
Probably like 100 photos with that.
Yeah, no, seriously, man. I'm just starting, you know.
Yeah.
And then I remember when I first started too, like I loved film so much. Film especially.
Like filming.
Filming like film and its like core, you know, like the art of it.
Mm-hmm.
That our film teacher required a report. And I ended up giving like this much of a report on a movie.
Nerd.
Yeah, no, seriously, man. You know, I just love film that much. And it's just crazy. Like, that's always just been in me. And ever since then, like, I've just been chasing after that dream, you know, just like wanting to make true art, wanting to make something that's real. You
okay.
Know?
So what was your favorite movie growing up? Obviously, you have to have some inspiration.
Yeah. True. So one of them was like Alien. I don't know why. Yeah.
James Cameron Alien?
Like old Alien.
Yeah,
the first Alien. That one. Another one was after that, you know, after getting like into film a lot, I started really liking The Revenant. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah, with Leo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, amazing movie, right? So like the cinematography and all that movie,
yeah,
amazing, gorgeous. Right? So just like little by little, obviously Alien was one of the first ones because it was one that I was able to break down by myself every single scene.
Do you know were you a fan of like certain directors? Because I don't know if Alien was James Cameron or Ridley Scott. Was one of those two,
I don't remember exactly, honestly, but I don't know directors. Okay. I just remember I would just love the art of what film is.
Got it. Yeah, well, yeah. The Revenant is definitely a piece of art for sure. Oh, yeah, especially definitely. With that director. Don't know how to say his name, so I'm not gonna even try. Yeah. And he always uses that same cinematographer guy too. It's like,
yeah,
also foreign together. Names. Like I'm not gonna even try, but it's so fucking tight though, man.
And another one is The Dark Knight too. Like the cinematography.
Christopher Nolan's my favorite director.
Yep. So just the cinematography in that. I just love to look at the cinematography, the art of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So once I started getting into those movies and everything, you just kind of start realizing, you know, like I really like this, you know? So that's how I started. I started back in high school. It was just picking up and started shuffling videos.
Yeah. Damn. So you had like a little whatever camera. Yeah. And then when did you start thinking into like, all right, I'm going to invest in some like decent gear.
Right.
Or so, how did you know you were going to
start? Yeah. So after high school, I started hustling with my dad, like fixing trucks and stuff. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to buy a camera. Mm-hmm. And I made the jump to buy a Canon T5i.
Okay.
So that was like super, super basic, super starter, right? And with the kit lens. And okay. I rolled with that probably for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just practicing, taking pictures here and there. Nothing crazy.
You weren't taking any gigs at this point?
No gigs yet.
Just
like having fun.
Got it.
Yeah, going to car shows, you know, taking pictures of them.
Nice.
And then I was just like, you know what? I think I'm going to start doing like photo shoots of cars. So I got the Nifty 50.
Of course.
You know, you just can't go wrong with that. So I bought that lens, and that's when I started. That was probably like 2 years in. So it was like 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the when I started doing that. And after that, you know, car guy after car guy, they started hitting me up like, hey, dude, like, let's take some pictures.
Is the car scene pretty big in that area? Were you born and raised in that area?
Yeah, San Bernardino area.
Got it.
So it's big, but it's small. Mm-hmm. So like once you know one person, you know another person.
Okay, it's like a little tight. Network as far
as exactly. Right, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, it's pretty tight.
Okay.
Yeah, so with the Nifty 50, I rolled with that for probably like another 2 years, man,
mm-hmm.
until I invested in a 85 1.8. Canon as well.
Okay.
I feel like that's like the next prime. Once you get to 50, you like eventually save a little bit more, get an 85.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So that one, obviously everybody loves the 85.
Yeah.
But at that point, when I still had the 50, I was like, okay, I need to start doing like weddings and stuff. You know, like I need to start making some money off of this. I like it
mm-hmm.
enough. And I did. And that's, I just.
You knew you wanted to get into weddings, or did you just know that it, weddings was money?
I almost like stumbled into it, you know? Got like it. I had a friend who I used to go to church with. Okay. She had a Canon 70D Mark II or something like that, or Mark I, I don't remember, honestly. And she let me borrow it one time for a car show. I was like, oh, I love this. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is crisp image quality.
Right.
And
Is that a full frame?
That's a full frame. Okay. Yeah, that's a full frame. And she was into weddings. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start doing it. Like, this is where the money's at. Like, yeah, you know, like, this is what I have to do. So that's when I bought the 85 and I started doing weddings.
Damn.
Yeah, so my first gig that I ever got was a 15 though, and that was like $300 for all day, or $200 for all day.
To do what again?
To just photos all day.
15, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, quinceañera.
Yeah, quinceañera.
Okay, gotcha. I was like, a 15? Yeah, right? I was like, is that a car thing that I don't know about? I legit thought it was a car thing.
No, yeah, it was a quinceañera. So that was like $200.
Okay.
Dang. And that was all day, dude. That was a tiresome day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's when you realize like, man, I need to charge a little bit more.
Yeah. But I couldn't, you know, I didn't have my portfolio. I didn't have the experience. I didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything. But I just kind of like gunned it. I was like, I think I could do it. And I did it, you know, surprisingly, I did it. But I mean, you kind of like ease into it because, I mean, that's a lot of responsibility.
No, it is. I'm trying to think of my first wedding. Because I've always heard like, oh, man, it's like it's scary. It's you need to capture the moment. You cannot miss. Yeah. You cannot miss. And I did so much preparation online and then just like past shoot experiences where it's like I knew my camera settings, I knew my little hotkeys and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But like once I got to the wedding, it was like a breeze. It was weird. I was like over prepared. So I knew what to expect.
Right.
And of course, the more you do, weddings become super cookie cutter.
Exactly.
And then you know, like, oh, I expect this at this point. I expect this at this point. So it's like.
Like there's already a layout.
Yeah. People are like terrified of weddings, but I'm like, I don't think you should. Mm-hmm. It's decent money. Get your feet wet. Like, just prepare. Just mm-hmm. It's all about preparation.
Although I do wish I had like second shot. mm-hmm. at first, just because it's very...
Oh, because you were doing it solo.
Exactly. Got it. Yeah. So I wish I would have second shot at first instead of just like jumping into it.
Oh, you were just a lead, straight up.
Yeah, I was just by myself, you know, shooting this quinceañera, and it's like, dude, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to go with it and just take pictures of whatever.
So, right. So when you're like, you're experimenting, are you experimenting at this point? Like, you're seeing what you like and what you don't like?
Yeah.
Did you look up to anybody on Instagram, YouTube?
Nobody, nothing? Man. Like, the only person was like Peter McKinnon at that time.
Okay.
You know, who was like huge
right.
at that time.
Still is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what were you gravitating at that point? Like, what
honestly,
did you
want? I didn't know.
You didn't know?
I didn't know at all what I want. I didn't know what my niche was. I didn't know any of that. I was just a kid with a camera trying to make some money. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so I was 18, 19.
Uh-huh.
Dang.
So it's just like...
How old are you now?
24.
Fuck.
I'm not a super...
Forget how young you are, dude.
You know, I'm not super old, you know, but it's just like, at that point, I feel like once you pass like 22... You kind of already know, like, okay, I need to settle down and start at least knowing what I'm going to do.
For sure.
You know, yeah. At least that's the way I think.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of experience at this point. I mean, yeah. You started at what, like high school?
Yeah. Like, and then, I mean, I had a camera in my hands when I was, what's freshman 18, 19? Year? When I was,
oh, freshman, freshman year? That's 15, 14, yeah, 15.
14, 15. You know, so it's like, I know what angles to shoot. I know what works. But when you shoot a quinceañera, when you get hired, it's like a whole different responsibility.
How different is it from a, and guys, a quinceañera is equivalent to like a sweet 16,
yeah.
Maybe a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, maybe.
I've never shot a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Coming of age.
How different is it compared to a wedding?
It's completely different. You know, it's completely.
Because I've been offered a few. I just like.
It's like to a point where actually no, it's completely the same because it's like all cookie
you
cutter.
You just little 180
yeah,
right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, no, it's all cookie cutter. It's like the ceremony, the reception, the dances, and you're done. Same yeah. thing. Same.
I feel
exactly.
like it'd be easier because at quinceañera, there isn't an it moment like the kiss, for example. Quinceañera, you're at church for 4 hours.
People eating.
Yeah, and then yeah, yeah. after that, it's like
the special the dances,
and that's yeah, it. Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah, it's not that hard. It's super easy. But I mean, I think it was a good way to get into it too. You know, like mm-hmm. like you said, like now that I'm thinking about it, it probably is the best way to get into getting paid gigs because it's so easy.
Yeah,
you
like
know,
formal
you don't,
gigs.
Exactly. You don't have to shoot a lot, and it's just, I think that was for me that. At a point, I was scared, but at the same time, I was like, I think I can do this. You know, mm-hmm. it's not too hard.
And how did you land that first gig? Was it through a mutual friend, like a videographer that was already covering the events? Like, hey, I need a shooter.
I had posted an ad on Facebook, like in some group. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, looking for my first gig, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when they contacted me. And they were the only person who reached out to me.
Nice.
Yeah. So, that's tight. So I mean, I was just like I said, you know, I was like, I need to start doing something with this.
Right.
So I just did it.
So you use the power of the internet, man.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a good topic to talk about. So has Facebook ad or like, you know, those groups? I'm always like, I'm on Facebook, like, you know, two times a week. I want to tell this one story. Some person comments is like, I have a wedding.
Oh my God.
Yes. I'm looking for 10 hours, $700 my budget. Dude, 50 comments, bro. The top comment was some photographer that said, please value your time and talent. Yep. And everybody liked it. Every photographer, but that shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
How do you, has that worked for you, Facebook?
Like, honestly, our engagement pictures with my wife and I met the girl there. I second shot with her for like 2-3 years and she shot our engagement pictures. And I've worked with her like 8 weddings now.
Dang.
So
wait, the girl that shot your wedding?
That shot our engagement pictures.
Oh, it wasn't the same one as
no,
the wedding.
Oh,
same
got one.
It.
No,
got
not
it,
the same one. But I mean, off of that Facebook group from one post that she made that she said, oh, like I'm local to Lake Arrowhead, which is local to San Bernardino.
Got it.
She was like, I need a photographer or a videographer, a second shooter. And I was like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And she hit me up. We did it. And ever since then, we've always had a great business relationship.
I mean, funny. I mean, this goes back full circle right here because like the way we met was on a Facebook group.
That's right.
Someone had posted an ad like, hey, I'm looking for a shooter. And he hired both of us, ironically. I thought you were the person that did the ad.
No, no.
So when I go to the shoot in San Diego, I meet you there for the first time in Balboa Park, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's how we met.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. So those groups do work.
It does work.
But you got to get on them quick.
Yeah,
you do. Because, like you said, you get like 50 comments. You get like, and it's just crazy because some people will be like, oh, I'll do it for 400. And it's like, dude, are you kidding me? Like we're trying to make some bread here. Right. You know?
Yeah. One little pro tip I would suggest, guys, if you guys are like, the battle of the low balls, listen to what the actual message says, because a lot of the message will be descriptive. Like, hey, if you want this job, follow these rules, because a lot of people, they just put their Instagram on their comments. Like, bro, he didn't ask for an Instagram. Mm-hmm. That person asked for, if you're interested in this job, send me a message or email me and send me your fucking website or certain things. Like, if you don't follow that and you just throw your Instagram link, it's like, bro, you couldn't listen to those instructions. Why am I going to hire you then?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you actually, the guy who hired us that one time, I still remember because he posted like, post the gear you have. And
you just got to pay attention.
Yeah, he was like, message me the gear you have. Yeah. And everybody was just posting their websites and their Instagrams.
Is that what he asked?
Yeah, yeah. And I messaged the guy and I was like, oh, I have this lens and I have this camera, blah, blah, which I didn't have that much at that time. But it was
attention.
Exactly. But it was enough to get his attention, you know?
Right. Yeah, so. But yeah, a lot of people just do that. I just post my Instagram. I'll let my work speak for itself. It's like, bro, if you can't freaking listen to proper instructions, man, I'm not going to freaking invest in you to do my job.
Yeah.
So, anyways. One thing in that I remember, I think this was either the first gig or the second gig that we did together. You were like opening my mind when it came to like subscription base. I don't know if you remember that conversation we had.
Yep. And then all of a sudden it became a thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. But that subscription base is more like a retainer, right? Because we weren't using that term at the time.
Nobody. I don't think. Well, I think they were just really big people, like big name people.
And you're like showing me, it's like, yo, yeah, they pay you a month and you do X amount of work. And I was like, wait, what? Like, and it's a guaranteed check every month. It's like, bro, my mind was so blown, man. Yeah. And I'll never forget that conversation. Did my research.
I still remember I was dropping you off. I would think I was dropping you off or we were at your house or something.
We were driving. I remember driving. I was driving and then you were telling me all this shit. I was like, wait, what the fuck? There's a whole new world of like making money. Mm-hmm. And then shit, years later, man, I have like retainer clients here and there now. It's like, thanks to you opening my mind. Yeah. I mean, I would have figured it out eventually, but you planted that seed way back when.
Right. So when it comes up, it's just like, oh yeah, I do know about that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, luckily, you know, I've had my retainer clients, but it's just like Pete, I work a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. so it's difficult, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to keep a retainer client, but it's just about opening up and thinking about your photography is a business, you know, it's not just being creative. Like you got to think about this, like working a 9-to-5, like you got to think about like, you got to pay for ads, you got to pay for marketing, you got to pay for
overhead. Employees.
Yeah, exactly. Overhead. You got to pay for gear. Like you got to pay for all kinds of things. Like it's not just, oh, I'm going to go and take pictures. Like, no, dude, mm-hmm. like you want to guarantee yourself your check. And on top of that, a little extra so you can live a little bit comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, so you can have some money to invest more gear. So it's just like, that's why I gave you that idea. Cause I remember I was listening to Gary Vee at that time and he was just talking about how Netflix and Hulu
subscription based.
So it's like, I started thinking like, okay, like why don't we do this with clients? You know, it's the same thing when you rent a customer, a car, you know, like it's obviously it's something consistent. So it's just like, okay, so let's just do that. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking into it and I started planting the seeds with my customers. I landed one retainer client for a good amount at that time, you know, and a contract for an amount of time.
Right.
So it's just like, I mean, it's just shooting your shot and seeing what happens.
You'd be surprised, man, because every time I meet up with someone that's especially new, I'll plant that seed. Like, I'm like, hey, man, like, yeah, dude, I do a variety of videos. One thing I like to do with my clients is I'd rather show up one day. It will save your time and my time. Remember, you got to like find a solution for them, not for you only. So like it saves a lot of time for you where you can concentrate on your business and making all this money. We dedicate one day. We show all this content. You have a month or 2 months worth of content. And they're like, oh shit, I never thought about that. They're kind of like how I was years ago in our conversation. They're like opening their minds, like, oh, I never thought of a, you don't say subscription based because it sounds kind of weird.
Yeah.
You don't want to lock him in like that.
Right.
But you just sound a little bit more professional. Yeah, it's a little retainer thing kind of thing. And then And they're like, fucking sold. Let's fucking do something.
It's easy.
And then you customize that package to their budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be like one size fits all. Like I could either take $2,000 a month for 4 videos, that's it. But if you want to do like 2 videos because your budget is like $1,000, maybe we could do one shoot and a couple of photos or whatever, photo shoots, and that's it. And
yeah.
So you guys keep talking about retainer clients. When you were coming up with this concept, what were you targeting, or what did you know that would need a retainer client?
Real estate
for the creative
game. Real estate for sure. Yep. I think that honestly, that's easy money. Straight up, because what mostly real estate people want is just informational stuff or listings, and it's
or flex. They're the biggest flexors.
yeah, they're huge.
They flexors. Fucking they flex shit they don't even have.
But it,
they're free flexing houses they selling.
I'm not gonna say anything because I have
they be flexing shit that don't even like even really retain, man. I can say it comfortably though. You don't gotta say shit.
So real estate
is definitely where the retaining client is. Or restaurants too.
Mm. I remember restaurants. When we talked about that, you were doing the restaurant thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about doing restaurants, but after like kind of like same thing, you kind of just stumble into things. So after stumbling into things, I found like real estate is where it's at. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the easiest route.
So is real estate pretty big in I mean, it's big nationwide, but like San Bernardino specifically, is it pretty good?
I mean, I think like everywhere. Yeah. Obviously, it's bigger in LA. Right. I mean, but it's pretty average. You know, right. You land it with the clients you land. The client that I landed at first with on retainer, I mean, he had a good office. He had a good backbone and everything. So it was just like, it just depends what offices you go to.
Right.
Because there's different branches in different cities, you know.
That leads me to my question. How are different San Diego, San Bernardino, how are they, versus competing wise? Is there more photographers inland? Is there more photographers in San Diego? How does that go?
Honestly,
you find it easier to land a job in San Diego or inland?
Yeah, so definitely like outside San Diego, LA, Palm Springs area. That's where all your weddings at, because in the Inland Empire, there's not much.
Right.
I mean, honestly, Inland Empire is pretty dry. So you have like your San Diego weddings, which are beautiful. You have your LA weddings, which are just like money, money, money. And then you have your Palm Springs weddings, which are obviously money too, because they got...
Palm Springs is not cheap.
Huge. No, it's not. It's really not.
Yeah. It's so expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And then same thing like Palm Springs, La Quinta, you know, like Coachella Valley, all that stuff. That's where the money, that's where all the weddings are. Real estate, it's everywhere. Right. You know, you'll land that anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Do you still do a lot of weddings?
Yeah. So we have a wedding coming up this Saturday. We did a wedding, two weddings last
month. Is it just you and your lady? Shouts to your lady. She's out of frame right now.
Yeah. So yeah, it's my lady and I. And then I always either hire you out, obviously, or hire out another photographer, depending on the package that the client wants.
Of course. Yeah. I like how you're like super structured. When I remember one time I was inquiring for your, see what your prices are, because if I could hire a second shooter, and you send me this like, it wasn't a website, but I don't know how do you describe it?
A PDF.
It was a PDF. It was so like really nice and elegant looking. I was like, fuck, I need one of these, man. But I'm just too lazy to create one of those. I already have a website, but you're really good at like, keeping like the business like super structured, and you're very kind of like you were saying, you have like the 9 to 5, you need to like organize your hours and time to like get as efficient as possible, maximize your time.
Exactly. Yeah, because like Pete, I mean, Pete understands, because he has this corporate job, the 9 to 5 too, and you have to organize your time, because if not, you're taking time away from your family and you're taking time away from yourself to enjoy with your family. So it just sucks, you know, because then you're finding yourself catching up and you can never spend time with your family.
Right. How do you balance that? How do you balance the 9 to 5?
So I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to dedicate just Monday and Friday, just straight editing. Just like from 8 a.m. until I finish whatever I got to finish. And then
aren't you working from Monday to Friday?
Yeah. So in between, I'm working, you know.
Oh, you're editing while you're working?
Yeah. So luckily, I'm in a position where I kind of oversee things. So gotcha. I'm working, and then
the manager vibe, baby.
Yeah. So like I'll be working, right, and then all of a sudden an email will come through, and I had to take care of that. All right, I'll take care of that. And I'm working from home Mondays and Fridays.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah. So I'm working, and then all of a sudden, all right, email comes in. All right, let's take care of work, because obviously that's priority. You know, that's the bread and butter.
Of course.
You know,
paying the rent.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, that's a pretty good situation to be, where you're in the comfort of your home, where you have your home office, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And you have maybe a laptop and a desktop, and one's for email. And one's for like the Premiere or Final Cut, whatever you're using.
Yeah, so obviously I have my work laptop, which they gave me, but I was just, same thing, like it was cutting into our time. You know, we're newlyweds, and I was just finding myself catching up, and I was finding myself not delivering to my clients. And it was just like, man, like I can't keep doing this to myself. I'm burning myself, and I'm burning my own, you know, my home.
Right.
And it's just like, you just got to catch up, and you got to structure it, like you said, and you got to find a structure.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. So why don't you get into a little bit about you and your wife's team? What's it called? The company? Becor Media.
Becor Media. It's all good.
So how do you guys balance that? Like you say, do you do stuff on the sides besides Becor Media, or do you do everything?
Is it all in-house?
So that's exactly where, at the stage where I'm at right now, where I'm kind of like off-branding. I don't know if you've seen. So now myself, I'm going to start branding myself as a photographer, as an automotive videographer and photographer, which is where my passion is. And then Becor Media is going to be all like family stuff, wedding stuff, corporate stuff, you know, stuff like that.
Got it.
Because that's, I always, same thing, you know, I just have these conversations with her, and it's just like, I need to do what I love. You know, I need to niche myself. I need to be happy with what the work that I'm doing. And that's what I love. That's where my passion. That's how I started. Yeah. You know, so it's just like
you see Addy comes and like, what? You didn't say that before.
No, that's true. Because
that's nice, man.
You got into this space for a reason, and then it's like something that him and I used to say a lot is like you got to go back to your roots and figure out why you got into that space.
Yeah.
Because I fucking love doing cars or whatever and shit.
Exactly.
And me, I like to do the travel shit. Mm-hmm. Pete likes to fucking wants to shoot athletes and whatnot, and so. Yeah, that's just good, gotta man. Fucking remember. But at the same time, yeah, like those opportunities are scarce. So you need to do something in between that moment where you're doing the corporate. That's not the sexiest thing ever. The quinceañera, the weddings, and the corporates, just like other stuff that you don't necessarily love. But that's just part of the game.
Exactly. And the one who not gave me the idea, but kind of like pushed me to it was Adrian, the guy you guys had last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he was just like, you know, like. Like, I'll take the money. I'll do the work. He was like, but, like, what I'm going to post on my Instagram is, like, what I love. What I like to shoot. So I was like, okay, like, how can I twist that and do that my own way? You know, like, okay, I'm going to start doing my own thing. And then Bacora Media, like, will be all that stuff.
Right. So I want to get into one thing. Because you have a 9-to-5 and you have all these, like, Bacora Media. And then you're trying to brand out as your own identity. Do you work, obviously, 7 days a week. How do you feel that takes a toll on you mentally? Body wise, is it easy? What do you do to like just maintain that
right. Solid question.
What the fuck is it called? Is
like the rigidity?
Energy.
Yeah,
maintain
like
the energy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been hard, but it's much easier. Life just feels easy now. You know, life just feels like it's like smooth. Like now there's like before it would be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna work, and then after I'll work more. And it's just like, oh my God, dude, like your body can only take so much.
Bro, honestly, it's that Gary Vee fucking thing. I think that shit's so toxic, in my opinion, that like the hustle culture is so toxic. That's why I had to stop listening to that bullshit. Yeah. Like, he's cool and it's great. It was great for me to consume when I first started because he does motivate the fuck out of you. But eventually, you don't need motivation anymore. Eventually, like if it's installed in your mind, like you're gonna make shit happen no matter what.
And but it's kind of like he says that, but then at the end of the day, he says you got to do what makes you happy.
Right.
What makes me happy? Because he said, you know, maybe to some people a 9-to-5 does make them happy. And it's just like, okay, well, maybe it does. Maybe for some people it does make them happy to just lay on the couch and not do nothing all day.
That was me today.
I wasn't trying to point any fingers, you know. But it's just like, okay, like what makes me happy? Photography makes me happy. You know, my wife makes me happy. My home makes me happy. Making money makes me happy. So it's just like, now you got to just find out what you got to do. Mm-hmm. So now that I have this structure, it's a lot easier. Now I just mainly I take Saturdays off. And Sundays I edit for like 2-4 hours
right.
in the mornings.
So you have your like calendar structured to the T.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. I try. And then like what I've learned is that the successful people come by just adding more to their routine, to their schedule, and then seeing how you adapt to it, right? So the more stuff you add on, it's just like, okay, now how am I going to fit this into my life and how can I structure it, right? So if I want to be successful in my business, in my branding, okay, now how am I going to add now my branding to be successful? Now I got to find more time. Now I got to do this. Now I got to do that. So it's just like, you just got to find like ways. You got to be creative with your time. You got to be creative with the way you do things, because there's no clear answer. Everyone's different.
Right. And especially in our world, this is all brand new. There is no fucking roadmap to like, for example, going to be a doctor and you go to school for like 25 fucking years and shit like that and pay debt for until you're 90.
Yeah,
and then you become a doctor.
That has an A to Z. And then you pay off your school loans and then this.
Ours doesn't have a roadmap at all. Like we're just, that's why, bro, 1940. It's 1849, baby, I'm telling you. So Joel, I know you're talking about your personal branding, something I don't really know about, because I know Bitcoin Media, but tell us more about this personal branding, because I'm kind of going through that same thing right now where it's like,
what am I doing?
I'm trying to figure out what I want to create for myself. I'm in the same boat.
So it's Pete. Honestly, it's Pete. Pete has his own brand. Like he's the definition. Peter Collins frames. You know.
See, I heard.
No,
that was so smooth.
I appreciate that, bro.
No, seriously, and you're an inspiration to me, because it's just like, this is exactly how. An Instagram profile should be looking. This is how branding should be, because it's like, this is what I want to shoot. This is who I am. This is what I like to do. These are my colors. This is my color grading. You know, this is my color palette.
You definitely locked your colors.
Yeah,
like, your colors are like a signature now.
You know what? One thing that you remind me of, you're saying right now. You remind me of 6ix9ine when he's like, I let my nuts hang because that's what you gotta do. Yeah. You gotta stick with like your colors and everything, dude.
Yeah.
And you gotta ride with that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you are gonna have your haters. You are gonna have people being like, well, I can do better. But it all at the end of the day, it's your brand.
Exactly.
And I appreciate that, man.
Good. Yeah. Let's. Do you deal with hate?
No.
Look at Astrid. Like, yeah.
Should I answer this? I don't.
Should I say his name?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I do.
Well, if you don't know, it's good. That's a good
know.
Thing.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if people want to talk and they want to say what they want, they're gonna say it.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, what I'm doing is gonna benefit me, not what you're saying.
I like that. You got the horse blinders on.
Yeah. Like exactly.
That. So more for the personal branding, you said you're trying to like get to like as far as like color schemes, color palettes.
Yeah. So that's kind of where the stage where I'm at, where I'm kind of trying to tweak my colors and see exactly what I like. What kind of like automotive stuff I like.
Have you been posting a lot of car stuff, like exotic cars lately?
Yeah. So that's what I want to do is like exotic cars, fixed up cars, like nothing like basic, you know?
Sure.
Like, and
so no Honda Civics and shit.
No, Ferrari's only, bro.
No hatchbacks.
It's still a foreign, bro. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So stuff like that. I kind of want to dial it in. So I have like, I'm still like looking for clients, but like Dave Ramsey says, I listened to Dave Ramsey. He's like, I was a millionaire once. I could be a millionaire twice. I could be a millionaire again because I already know how to do it. Yeah. So I started out as a car photographer. I was pretty successful, even though I started small. I could do it again. I know exactly what I have to do. It's just this time I have bigger aspirations and goals. So now it's time to get published too. You know, you just gotta.
And the second or the most biggest flexor next to a real estate agent is a car owner. They want to flex their car. Yep. They want to show it off.
Yep.
Oh, you're gonna take videos of my car of me driving it? Fuck yeah, let's do it. They want to show it off.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what it is. So we have clients like that too, where they just bought Lamborghinis and Ferraris and everything, and it's just like, oh yeah, we want to do a car shoot. We want to highlight on the Ferrari. We want to highlight on the Lamborghini. And it's just like, all right, let's do it. Then like, I'm your guy. I know exactly what I have to shoot. I know the angles. I know everything. So
right. So let's as far as the angles and all that. Let's get a little nerdy, man. Let's talk about the gear. What are you rocking right now?
Because
you were using Canon.
Yeah, I was using Canon. So after that, I sold that. I bought a Sony A7S2. Mm-hmm.
Legendary camera.
Yeah, style. But I traded that for a Sony A7R2. So bigger megapixels, right? At that time, and then which was a huge mistake. I don't know why I did that, but whatever. And then after that, I have now my Sony A7 R2 and a Sony A7 III.
Okay.
Oh, you got two.
Yeah. So now I have two bodies.
Damn, and what are you? What glasses? What kind of glasses?
85.
Because I know what you're using. It's up there. He's got the red G, guys.
Yeah. So I have an 85 1.4 G Master Sony. All Sony lenses. Yeah. I have a 24-70 G Master.
Dang.
And a 24-1.4 G Master.
Too. I've used that one. Yeah. I used it to take a photo. That shit is crazy, bro.
It's beautiful
lenses. So clearly he's going to go to the side where gear doesn't mean shit.
No, I really...
He's got the most expensive lenses. Listen,
I knew you were going to bring that up because I have fucking expensive lenses.
But it's holy just like, shit. Your lenses are crazy expensive.
Honestly, it's probably like $8,000 in lenses.
Yeah.
But it's just...
It's a one-time investment, though.
Exactly. So it's that, and then it's, I just love like native stuff, you know. So
you have to go.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So if it's like, so for example, like if you buy a Ford, you want to get like Roush, which is like the performance stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to go aftermarket, right? I don't know. That's just me. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
So like Sony is like Sony lenses, Sony this.
They just communicate better.
But I think I want to get the 85 Sigma, like the art lens.
Okay,
yeah, I want to get that one too.
It looks pretty.
What's wrong with your GM? Fuck.
Focus breathing.
That's right.
And the motor is just loud. It's just like, and I'm just
it's
like,
that obvious.
Yeah, Sigma is underrated, bro.
Well, I know. Yeah. I know the newer cameras, they fix that problem with the new A7.
No, but this is just the lens itself. Like the way it moves, the lenses.
No, I understand what you're saying, but they say like the new, like the A7 IV gets rid of the focus breathing on native lenses.
Mm-hmm.
So
I could, that's probably true. So I probably just need a new camera then.
But do you want to shoot fucking 4K 60 in crop motion?
No, I don't think so. So what are you looking for right now? Like, are you just going to keep your setup?
I'm just going to keep
it. Do you like your camera bodies?
I want to get an A7 S3 or an FX3. One of those two.
They're in back order till at least January 17th. I check every single day. I've been trying to buy one for 2 months and
back order.
Yeah. I call like all the camera stores, like, yeah, just waiting for the shipment, man. It's like, good thing is they're not stuck in Long Beach in the fucking ocean. They're
at least they won't sink, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I was at Malibu, and I was like, I saw all these ships like in line. I was like, I was gonna send a Berto message like, no, they're just on the A73.
Yeah, seriously, I've been trying to get it, man, but it's a bitch. Not till next year at least. But
yeah, and, it is what it is. And like you say, honestly, gear doesn't matter. You know, I was shooting. I had my Canon, and I was already shooting like $800 weddings, $900 weddings, and I was just shooting the Canon T5i and the 85.
Right.
Just that setup. Simple, no flash, no nothing. Because I was already making $800.
Right.
You know, $700. So it's just like,
yeah, as long as you like, you land one gig, and then that pays for the lens.
Yep.
It plus more.
Mm-hmm. So you just got to keep saving up, keep racking up some cash.
And are you using gimbals? Are we using?
Yeah, so I'm using like an old Mobi M5.
Okay.
Old. That's probably came out like 2015, 2013.
Still holding pretty strong then?
Yeah, now it is. Yeah, so I remember I told you it wasn't working.
Oh, that's right.
It wasn't working, but I just balanced it, everything. It's just my fault. I'm a noob sometimes.
Okay, and that's pretty much it as far as gear. I know you're really technical. You have like audio gear, light gear.
Yeah, so like obviously it's stuff you accumulate over the years, you know, shooting weddings and having all kinds of gigs. So it's like I have the same setup. You have the Zoom, the H6.
H6, yeah.
Yeah, H6. I have like a little lav. For like weddings, you know, self-recorder, simple stuff like that. But it's just like, you got to get stuff. You want to make more money, you got to invest money. Facts. Simple as that.
Yeah. One thing that's been like, piece of gear that I people sleep on a lot is like audio, especially like in weddings and whatnot, because toasts are like everything. So like people want those like memories of like clean sound and whatnot, not just a shotgun mic. And there's no offense to shotgun mics. I mean, they're there for a reason, but you're not going to get that crisp audio, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's really been a big plus as far as my editing goes. It's, like, clean audio.
Yeah, and audio is one of the things. That's why I got the Zoom H6, because even though it's, like, pricey, is like, $300, $350.
Yeah, $300, $400.
Wait, you have this one, too? Yeah, I have this one, too. So, it's just, like you just said, it's a one-time investment. You know, it's a good piece of gear, and it's, like, you know, why am I going to invest $100 right now on something so cheap and then have to invest another $100 in the next six months?
Right. So now, like, okay, we're fast forward now to present. What are you trying to do now? What's your goal right now with the horse planners and everything? What are you trying to reach? Are you trying to focus on your self brand, or are you trying to still like do this Becor Media?
Yeah. So I think this will somehow, I think the end goal is somehow it'll branch out. Mm-hmm. To where I'm doing my thing, but still managing like a media company.
And so you see yourself running a media company.
Yeah. Okay. So still growing that, you know, like having retainer clients, you know, I don't want to do this forever. Mm-hmm. So I want to have something stable. And I think that's what Becor Media will be. Facts. You know, it'll be where I'll be hiring out people, and I'll just be living off of 20% off that gig. I don't, you know, I'll be having 20%, but off of 20 gigs.
Right.
You know, not just one gig.
Perfect. So, I like where you're going into right now. So explain that 20%. What does that mean? What is that?
So pretty much a gig is $1,000, and you only get paid 200, and you pay the shooter or whoever $700.
Okay.
You know, so it's just like,
$800.
Let's just say you pay him, you know, $700 to $800, and it's just like, yeah, but meanwhile you have 10 other people shooting at somewhere else, so now you're making $2,000, you know, or whatever it is. So it's just like I said, you got to think of this as a business. It's not it's not just being creative, like.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something I've told Pete, like, I don't want to fucking freelance for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 31 right now. I mean, I'm still in a decent shape, so I can still handle it. But like, I know people that I've worked with, they're like in their like mid 40s. I'm like, damn, how do you do this shit? Like, if I'm tired, like, I know you're fucking dead.
Like those old school shooters. No offense to them.
No, I work with an old school shooter. Yeah, like often.
You know, like the the huge like strobes and the huge Canon lenses, and it's like, dude, like, man, you got to retire.
I mean, if they love it, they love it. I know I don't want to be that person, for sure. Like,
and like I said, you know, whatever makes you happy makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, so, but this is what makes me happy. And I've always been a very, like, entrepreneurial kind of person. Mm-hmm. So it's
seems
just
like it.
Yeah. So it's just like, this is what I want to do. So that's what
makes me happy. I got two solid questions for you. Well, let's start with the entrepreneurship, because I like where we're going right now. How did you, like, what made your mind, like, into that space? Because like at 24, bro, I was a fuckhead. We're at PB right now, slamming fucking shots right now, getting home at 3 in the morning, then going to work at 7, like, oh, nothing happened.
Dude, I still do that, but not too much, not that badly, you know.
But like once in how'd you get your head straight to, like, because I'm sure you have like friends that are not in the same wavelength
as you. And it's frustrating, honestly, because they have so much potential. But
because they say you are the average of the five people you hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much I'm by myself. I'm a lone wolf.
Okay.
You guys are my only friends. No, just
loner.
But ever since I was a kid, dude. I remember when I was like 8, I would go and cut people's yards for money.
Okay. You know, my neighbor's yard. You've always been a hustler, then.
Yeah, yeah. So ever since I was a kid, I would work with my pops working on cars, and now he would pay me like $100 and I'll go buy whatever I want.
Right.
You know, but ever since I was a kid, I'll always hustle. When I was 15, I remember I made the most money. It was $300 and it was washing cars all over the neighborhood. Damn. I would go with my little bucket, you know, the little rag, and go around all the neighborhood freaking washing cars.
Fucking bro. Towel just scratching the cars and shit. Not even a real
one. Hey, but you know what? I came up on some money.
Facts.
And so
you always been like, you always knew the value of the dollar.
Yeah. And it's just like, but I'm also a big spender. In investing in who I am and what I want to do.
Well, I wouldn't call that spending then. That's investing.
Yeah. There's a huge I'm a big investor.
Okay, there's a big difference between spending and
like investing. We'll talk later.
This guy right here is swipe friendly.
So I'm fucking around. That's what's up, dude. Yeah. So, okay. And you know, to defend us, Alberto, we were in a different age because nowadays you
didn't have the internet like that.
Yeah, we didn't have that. This is why we started this podcast, basically. Yeah. Me and him grew up. The cool thing, I didn't even think it was a cool thing. We were just like susceptible to like going out to bars, you know, having fun for the night. Nothing wrong with that. Living
the best life. The best living life in the moment.
You are right now. Yeah. Living in the moment. And then this is how we came up with that. But now I see like, I'll be seeing Rafe post this thing where we've had him as a guest. We're like, people my age, like, I'm like, bro, are you throwing shots at us? Like, we old heads or what? I'm like, damn, like, time is changing, you know. Yeah. Like the younger you get, the more progressive you get. Which is kind of a good thing and a bad thing. I think
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing for the most part. It's a good evolution. Because I lived through like, oh damn, when I was your age, I was like having fun. Like I didn't have no worries. Like I wasn't even thinking about my future. I was just having fun for the moment, living in the moment. But I don't know. I think that's a great thing that now everybody's like, okay, like I'm 21. Like, what am I going to do now? Like you know, they're 5-6 years ahead, which is great for humanity. And that's like something we like started this podcast for, like this fellow shoes in.
I think it's because the internet is more universal now than it was when we were growing up. Like, we grew up in a time where you don't really have a phone in your hand. We were like we fucking play tag outside, play football outside, get our fucking knees bruised up and dirty. Where kids nowadays, and this is no knock, but like kids nowadays are like vlogging. Not playing outside, they're fucking playing Fortnite and shit. Yeah. But like the flip to that is like kids are getting more educated faster, and they're learning the value of the dollar. Yeah. They're learning about investing at an early age. Where I wish in fucking school I got taught that, like how to do finances, not how to fucking do the Pythagorean theorem and shit, like shit that I've never used ever since, man. Like they set you up. I'm going to my conspiracy bag now.
They set
you up for failure because they're setting you up to be a fucking sheep in the universe and get the stupid ass job that you hate, and you work till you're 65 or whatever whenever you retire, and you just pay this massive debt.
And I give credit to Gary Vee for that, for opening that lane up and saying, you know what, you don't have to go to college. I'm a testament of that, and I'm proud of it, honestly, because I'm happy where I'm at. I'm really happy. I have a happy life. I have a happy wife. I have a happy home. My family.
That's
why
you have a happy life. Happy wife, happy life.
You know, I don't want to say I'm successful, but I'm on my road to success. I have a road path, and it's just like, if I would have gone to college, dude, I was going to go to college to be a neurosurgeon.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been a nice little bag.
It would, but it's just like, I wasn't going to be happy.
Right.
I was going to be slave to school and just be there, you know, and not enjoy my life who I am today.
And controlling your destiny.
Yeah. And whoever wants to do that, props to you, you know, like.
Yeah, we're not trying to knock
him. No. But it's just like I said, everybody has their own path, and school is just forced down our throats since we were young. Like, oh, you need to go to school. You need to go to school. You need to go. And it's just like, you need to understand, not everyone does that.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah, I feel, I preach that. Like we're all put in this earth to contribute. You know, school is your shit and it works for you, and you're good at it and you find happiness in that, good for you.
More power.
But let's be real, for the most part, we're not all programmed like that. You know, like, we're all, there's like 7 billion of us, 8 billion of us. That doesn't mean that a certain percentage of the United States is going to be programmed majority to go to college.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's opened our eyes, but I love what you used to say about that.
Yeah. It's a trippy world, man, that we're living in, but I think we're in a dope time. I think we're living the greatest time ever.
Yeah.
Another question for you as far as Beckhorn Media, like, how is it working with your wife 24/7? Well, not 24/7, because I know you have your own separate job.
Yeah. So it's amazing. Seriously, sometimes
she has your vision.
Yeah. Hey, you see, I was like, it's amazing.
I'm sure you guys have different visions, at least developing your own styles.
And it's hard because I want to do things a certain way, but she tells me like, no, like she thinks like the mom would, or she thinks like the wife would in the picture.
Okay.
And it's just like, okay, I need to listen to you because you know better. Perspective. Exactly. And they know better because at the end of the day, the ones who like it is the female. Mm-hmm. Honestly, at the end of the day, if the wedding pictures don't come out and the girl doesn't like it,
who cuts the check?
Yep.
9 out of 10, yeah. The guys do not give a fuck.
No, no. Our wedding pictures, I mean, I thought they were nice, but there were some where I was like, but
you're creative though.
Exactly. It's different. Exactly. So then she was just like, no, like this is not what I like. So okay, then we don't like it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's just like, she tells me like, no, you need to tone down the oranges. You need to tone down the yellows, the greens. I'm like, okay, then I'll do that. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating, honestly. Like sometimes we'll end up arguing or whatever, but it's just like, it's life too, you know? Right. And mm-hmm. you learn. And I tell her like, look, this is how I want to do it. So look, check this out. But right. when I do my car stuff, she doesn't even say anything.
Because it's your world.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just like, we both know our limits now.
Gotcha. <you
know?
laughs> Chill.
Gotcha. Yeah, we both know our limits. Oh, yeah. And then she helps me selecting pictures, which is the hardest thing ever. You know, like
pulling selects from 500 on your gallery. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, she'll select clips on videos.
Oh man, like I need clip. To hire you for that then. I hate selecting my fucking selects.
Yeah. So she'll select that. So she's a great help in getting things done a lot quicker.
Hell yeah. So you guys sounds like you guys have formulated a system where
good teamwork.
The roles for like the company.
Yes, exactly. So and then like all the marketing stuff she takes care of. I just pay for the ads.
Right.
Right. So she takes care of all the marketing stuff, making ads, making flyers, dealing with the clients. I rarely
that is the real work. Yeah. I mean, that's fucking work, man.
Yeah, like, no, it really is. And since obviously she has a little bit more time, she can take care of that. So it's just like, go for it.
Yeah.
And if you can make us more money, then I don't mind. You keep doing your marketing stuff, you know, keep doing flyers. I just deal with like high profile, not high profile, but like big clients, you know, big money clients where they need attention all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's good. I love how you brought up marketing because, you know, I don't know, you can probably relate when on your own brand of cars and stuff, you know, where we have a 9-to-5 job. And when you put the effort to market yourself, you know, whether it be like post multiple posts a day mm-hmm. or post consecutively for 4 days, you do see that return.
Exactly.
And clients are like inquiries and everything like that. And, you know, for me right now, winter's like whatever. You know, I had a couple of shoots. I just threw like let's end the year strong.
Oh, you've been on a roll,
and yeah, I've been like, let me just like get as much as I can right now because I'm like it's vacation. Like I already have my family time, but if a shoot comes here and there, it's worth it. I'm gonna take it. So that's what I've been doing. But it all depends how you market yourself. A lot of people will sleep on that. You know, posting every day. You know, if you're going for the free avenue with no ads or anything, you got to post every day.
Yeah.
Because the more people see your shit,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to post it 2 times a day because more people are going to see your shit.
Right.
So switch up the hashtags and whatever. But
exactly.
at the end of the day, you're marketing yourself and that's what matters. I don't care about the likes. I just care about the bread. So exactly. that's what matters.
You know? That was a fucking bar. There you go.
Fuck out of here, bro.
I don't care about the likes. I only care about the bread.
Right, that's not personal. That's not personal.
This guy's listening too much rap, man.
But do you relate with that?
No, though? No, like, yeah, totally. We don't post consistently on Bacor Media, but we do pay for ads on Facebook. So we'll make a flyer and then just pay ads and target specific people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's how most of our business has came. Actually, just a wedding from last month. We got a mini session 2 years ago mm-hmm. from a Facebook ad, and it became a wedding last month. So it's just like
that's 2 checks right there.
Exactly.
So
you know,
paid off.
Yeah, exactly. So we only paid for that ad like $100 mm-hmm. and our ROI was like 2000%. You know,
so here goes my next question. What do you find more effective? I don't know if you do Instagram or Facebook. What's more effective for you? And what would you tell the guy who's like, I got fucking $100.
Well, sounds like Facebook marketing.
Facebook. Right? And then you have an option to do Instagram too.
Okay.
So it'll go on Instagram too if you
but
want.
I feel like
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Instagram does have some bread, but like Facebook it's a little older generation there. Yeah. So they're more willing to drop some loot.
So same thing that I'm saying, you know, like who is your target audience? Most people, like you said, on Facebook are older. So you got to know your demographics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to boost a post. No, because Instagram
it's
is
a waste of money.
Exactly. Instagram is going to do whatever it wants with that thing.
Yeah. I've heard
and people, take your money.
Yeah. I've heard people do that. They boost their fucking thing and it's just people they follow of their friends.
Bro,
yeah.
I've gotten that too. It's like, bro, and I'm like, I'm into this suit. So it's like, bro, you wasted your money on me. Like, I'm not a client of yours. Mm-hmm. Like, we do the same fucking field of work.
Yep.
So you're targeting the wrong person.
Yep. So you got to target like women over 30, couples, families, mm-hmm. people with kids. Like, you got to gotta be descriptive on what you gotta do if you want
to. It's like
you
know? Creepy how like scary. It's scary how like detailed you could get.
Yeah, no, it really is.
It's a little
it
scary, really but I mean, hey,
I'll yeah. But if you can make money off of it, who cares?
Dude, dude, shot some likes up.
It's crazy that we're talking about this because I've been on this YouTube binge about expensive watches. Oh, so okay. Like I watched this guy who like buys Richard Millers, which are like $125,000.
Damn, that's crazy.
Rolexes, and they waste like $25,000 on ads. It was funny because like
the jeweler spends that much.
Yeah. So backstory: I was getting into credit cards. I was trying to get a credit card, okay. And I was like, "How do you get a black card? Like, how do you spend $250,000?" So the secret to the black card of Amex is you spend $250,000. Mm-hmm. A lot of people spend $25,000 for 12 months. On advertising, and that's how they get the offer. So then that's how I found the watch guy, and then the watch guy was like, you know, I do Facebook ads, and then I do like this thing where like if you saw my post and you clicked on it, it'll come back to you like
it's a funnel 3 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like it'll remind you like, hey, like do you still want to get this watch? And like he'll get like a sale a week or something.
What?
Like that.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, you just gotta like keep poking at them until they convince. Like, if they click on that ad, that means they have an interest in that ad, but they're not committed to buy. So, a number is, I forget the number is, like, people need to see an ad like 10 to 15 times in order for them to commit to a purchase sell.
Oh, I'm committed to Chick-fil-A.
they're doing a good thing. They're giving the ads all over you. So, like, sold.
Yeah.
So, that's like one little pro tip there. Yeah, but yeah,
ads do work.
No, it does work, man. Have you fucked with LinkedIn?
No, I haven't. I was trying to get into it.
People are sleeping on LinkedIn.
No, LinkedIn has been popping for a while.
So sleeping, it's still just, very organic too.
Yeah, it's so it's kind of hard because literally just how he said, I have my professional profile on there. So it's just like, I want to get like.
Oh, shit, you're in the same boat as this one. Yeah.
So I want to get better jobs.
No, but if you're like, sheesh, props to you, dude, because that looks really good.
Yeah, but I mean, you're in a situation where you said you want to create Becker Media. That's gonna be the staple. That's gonna be the backbone of the foundation eventually.
So I was thinking about that. I was like, should I be posting, you could
create a second account because you don't want your.
You can do that? I didn't know you could do that.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah. I would, if your wife doesn't have LinkedIn, I would go off for your wife's.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you don't want your 9-to-5 to be, that's not going to be your career forever.
No.
So you want to focus on Becker Media. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I will advise you to fucking jump on that. Why not?
Like if I don't see why not.
Yeah, so that's
it's another outlet where you can get potential clients.
So. And on LinkedIn though, there's like people that are ready to give the money to you right now, serious? Man. Like that's Facebook, crazy. It takes a little bit of convincing. Like, hey, I'm right here. Yeah. This is my fourth ad. Commit. Fuck LinkedIn.
I think just because LinkedIn is so small right now, either way,
and it's all corporate old heads. That's why. And they're like, hey, we have a budget for production and marketing. We're gonna spend this money regardless. Mm-hmm. There's no like negotiation bullshit.
Exactly.
Like they got the money off rip already. So it's like,
that's true.
Do not sleep on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Just saying. All right, Joel. So seems like you've been having you've had a lot of client experience in the past. I'm sure you have one horror client story in the tuck. You don't have to drop names. You don't have to drop numbers.
It's too obvious.
You don't have to drop
names. You're not saying, bro.
No names, no numbers. But like, if it does help the audience, if you do drop like ballpark numbers.
Okay. All right. So we were working. Just too bad.
What's his name again?
I was about to say it too. All right. Well, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah,
Bro, you don't gotta drop names because no one knows who he is. So just say this person.
My brother's playing reverse psychology.
This shitty ass person that didn't want to pay me.
No, yeah. So this was probably like
rookie year.
Like no, this was like 5 months ago, man.
Oh shit, damn, recent,
yeah, this
bro.
Was like 5 months ago.
Okay, yeah. Okay. He's definitely hearing this.
Shit. Oh, fair. I don't know.
So this was like 5 months ago.
Uh-huh.
We had this retainer. It was kind of like on site video and photo. Marketing
for like, this like in-house
okay but it was kind of like not retainer, it was weird. Mm-hmm. But whatever, we had a contract and everything and it was $3,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Right,
pretty solid.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I was just looking at it in the long run, so I was like, all right, we're making money no matter what. And then all of a sudden like things just started getting weird due to like it was a couple. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what they say, whatever. It was a real estate company. And then all of a sudden, this couple just decided to... we went out to Mexico, mm-hmm. my wife and I. And
like on vacation?
On vacation, okay. Because we just wanted to go to Mexico, right? And then all of a sudden, we hired someone so they won't be left without content, right? We were like, okay, like we'll hire someone out of what you're paying us. So we'll hire someone out.
Subcontract somebody.
Exactly. Gotcha. So it's just like, okay, cool. So we hired him on. And then we come back, and all of a sudden, they're like, oh, you know what? Like, we don't want to work with you guys no more, and blah, blah. Like, dude, like, we're already, like, 4 months into this thing, dude. Like, mm-hmm. you've already been paying us. Like, pictures are great. Videos are great.
No complaints on their end.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's just like, dude, like, what's up? And then he was just like, no, it's just like, we've noticed certain things and this and that. And I was just like, all right, cool. I was like, well, like, let me know. Like, think about it. I gave you this proposition and think about it. Mm-hmm. Come Wednesday, I guess he spoke to his wife, and he was just like, you know what? It's just not going to work out. And I was just like, all right, cool. No worries. Then just give me at least half of the retainer, mm-hmm. and then I'll give you all your footage and stuff. And then he was just like, I'm not going to pay you that. He's like, just fix all my videos and I'll give you half. And I was like, so he was like $700. And I was
he's
just
still
like,
demanding. Yeah, yeah. He so doesn't
he,
want to pay
yeah,
you.
So he wants me to fix his videos to his branding now, his branding, which isn't even a brand, honestly. And he wants me to fix his videos to his branding, his colors and everything. And I'm just like, dude, I'm not going to do all this work, even though we're not even on retainer anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just not even worth it. And he was just like, no, like, you promised me this and that. And I'm just like, dude.
And you promised me a check for the month.
Exactly. I was like, in contract, it says $3,000 no matter what.
Yeah, you're in the wrong at this point, like,
yeah.
legally.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just like, dude, like, whatever. I was just like, no, like, I'm not going to do all this work just so you won't pay me.
What stick to your guns?
Yeah, so he was just like, no, like, this is unfair. Like, I already paid for all those videos. I was like, yes. And I was like, and I already paid someone else to cover for me while I was gone. And I was like, and you need to understand that I need to pay them because I hadn't mm-hmm. paid this kid. And he was good. And then so it was just like this tough situation. And then at the end of the day, bro, I come to find out they hired that kid for way cheaper.
Like full time?
Yeah, full time. The one that I had subcontracted out. And then on top of it, they didn't pay me.
I remember this story now.
Yeah, they didn't pay me on top of it. And on top of that, I fell into like this like hole, dude. Like this hole of just like depression. And like, oh, shit. I don't want to call it depression. I was just like very like down. Mm-hmm. And I was in this funk for like 2 months where I just didn't want to edit. I was just editing like crap. I was getting clients, but it was like normal shoots. And I was just like, man, like, I hate this. Like, I don't want to do this. And it's just like, cause it came to a point where he was offending my work and my wife, mm-hmm. Just cause his wife is weird. So it was just like, dude, like, come on, man. Like, why would you do this to me?
Wait, know? Was he commenting like on your professional?
Yeah. Things? He was just like, no, like, you promised you could do this and that. And I was just like, dude, like, damn. We can do all this, but you never gave us the time to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you would always tell us like, oh, I'm busy. I'm this, I'm that. And I would give you ideas and you were to say no. So it's just like, how am I supposed to help you if you don't let yourself get helped?
Yeah, clearly it wasn't valuing your
exactly.
time.
Exactly. So he was just like, and then like, he was like, oh, and your videos are always dark and this and that. And I was just like, dude, like, we fixed that issue within the first week. You know, mm-hmm. like, you told me you wanted, like, lighter videos. We fixed the issue and you loved every video. You told me yourself, yeah, I love yeah. these videos. They're amazing. So it's just yeah. like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? So, like, he offended me personally, mm-hmm. you know?
So what about this kid, though, that you fucking hired and then just
yeah, so, you? Yeah, so I talked to him and I told him, like, hey, dude, like, just so you know, like, like, that's not cool. Like,
you need to go. Like, to, you need like, to take business ethics, like, for real.
No, seriously. I told him, I was like, ethically, I was like, business ethically, I was like, that was so wrong what you did. Yeah. I was like, because like, you could have at least told me, like, hey, Joel, look, this is what's going on. Like, they're gonna hire me.
Get your
out.
Blessing. If yeah, not, yeah. I'll tell them to fuck off.
No, no, or whatever, you know. And I was just like, but now I don't want there to be bad blood in between us because I feel this certain way towards you. Mm-hmm. And I saw this kid grow up.
Oh,
know?
Shit.
Yeah. So it's just like, dude, like. Like, I love you, man, but
so
it's just like,
pretty close
yeah, so it's just like, you're screwing me over, and it's just like, he doesn't understand that I have a house payment, he doesn't understand that I have car payments, mm-hmm. he doesn't understand that I have dogs to take care of, you know, he doesn't understand that I need to eat, bro, like,
I'm assuming he lives with his mommy and daddy yeah. and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, so it's just like, I get him on his end, like, he's still young, you know, but it's just like, at the end of the day, you need to understand that the picture is a lot bigger for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's good that you educated them. Because a lot yeah. of people who get in this game is like, well, bro, like, I'm just doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then there's people that are doing it for bread.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, it affects their livelihood. Mm-hmm. And you gotta check them.
Yeah, yeah. And I still love him. You know, I still, you know, and I, like I told Adam, like, we're strong believers. You know, so it's just like, I love that person. I love that couple. You know, bless them. I hope they do well. But I'm not going to trip over the same stone twice.
Right.
You know, so it's just like.
So what is it that you learned from and that you could do in the future to avoid that situation?
So our advice for the creative.
Yeah. Yeah. So first things first, you know, value yourself, you know, and I stood my ground and I felt good no matter what, you mm-hmm. know, because if I would have caved in, I would have been like, man, I can't believe I did that. So value yourself, stand your ground. You know who you are. You know what your worth is.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you need to learn that clients are amazing to a point, you know, mm-hmm. you need to learn to value your clients to a point. And after that experience, I'm not going to lie to you, dude, within the last 2 months, even though this was like 5 months ago, 2 months into like depression. After that, I wouldn't call it depression. 2 months into that downfall. After that, I came to appreciate my clients a lot more. Honestly, like I came to appreciate my clients because it's like, oh, you want to work with me? Like, dude, that's such a privilege.
Yeah.
Like if you really think about it, like you're really calling, you're messaging me, telling me, hey, I want to work with you. Like, tell me how awesome that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like they want to work with you. Value those clients because those are the ones that truly care about you and your work. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I would say that. And to protect myself, I couldn't do anything. I was not at fault in this. Yeah. I was not at fault. It was just someone who was cheap and didn't want to pay anymore. That's on them.
And you know? Good thing you had a fucking contract too. Like, if something were to get like really like legally crazy,
mm-hmm.
you have a contract that's like, yo, bitch, like you owe me 3 racks. You stop yo, fucking bitch. Paying.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah. And the only reason I didn't even do anything about it because I was like, whatever, you know, like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth the 700 or whatever the fuck he was gonna, the little bullshit was gonna pay you.
So that for sure, you know, you just gotta value yourself and appreciate your clients who you have now.
That's the thing. That's hard though. Like it's easier said than. Go ahead.
I was asking.
Go for it. Go for
perfect
it.
Question. Perfect segue. How did you know, either Becker Media or your own branding? How did you know your self worth? How did you know like I ain't gonna take lower than this because I know my worth?
It's easier said than done.
Like, not really. Is.
No, but what would you say to the creative gang out there? Like, damn, I'm struggling. Like, because I always say this. Like, I get like 10 inquiries a day, a fucking week.
Mm-hmm.
My bottom prize is a certain price. Not everybody can afford it, but whatever. How did you get your bottom prize to where like, all right, like that's my bottom price. You can't. Oh, well,
yeah.
Like, on to the next.
Where to agent the photographer.
Yeah. How did you realize that? Or how did you like cultivate that?
So I think it comes over time where you just learn to say, you know what? Like I need to value my, like, it's just, you got to mature. Honestly, you got to mature in who you are. In order to value yourself, because if you don't value yourself, nobody, not even including your parents, is gonna value you. Seriously.
Fuck.
No, seriously. Because if you don't value yourself, you're just gonna be all timid in the corner and just being yourself.
So let's get deeper into that.
So money wise,
yeah.
Like racks wise, I don't know. I can't tell you. It's a progressive thing. You know, you gotta be progressively grow into it. You gotta progressively grow. You gotta progressively get clientele. You know, so if you're getting 10 clients at 150, but I'd rather have 5 clients at 500, I'd rather do that.
Facts.
You know, so it's just like, I think that's where it kind of, you got to outweigh it.
Yeah.
Where do I want to stand now? You know?
Perfect. Yeah. I love that.
That's fucking, yeah, man.
Shit, you heard it here first.
That was fucking gems, dog. Well, you definitely gave like a good like advice, but if you have one more advice to the creative gang that's listening, to a younger you or someone that's starting into the space, like what is it?
Just shoot. Seriously, just shoot. Just shoot whatever it is. Just shoot pictures. Take pictures. Take video. Whatever it is that you want to do, like, just do it. You know, just do it. Just keep doing it. And if you can get money, get money. If you can second shoot. Do whatever you can to get as much experience as you can, because at the end of the day, in the long run, you're going to reap all that. You know, be as good, be as polite. Like you say, shake hands, kiss babies, do everything you can. And then before you know it, your network is going to be this big. And your experience is going to be this big, and not your ego, but your self-worth is going to be this big.
Right.
So it's just like once you do all this, you just got to be progressive.
Right.
Nobody goes into a gym and comes out looking buff. You got to go progressive. Yeah. And you cannot get impatient.
Bro, you can't. I'm going to ask you one more last question. Have you thought about becoming a preacher? I'm just kidding, bro. You fucking killed it, bro.
I know you said early in the beginning of the podcast, like you're super into films and whatnot. Do you see yourself like shooting a film, a short doc? Like you do a lot of like corporate, personal brand kind of content, kind of similar to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But like since you're super into like movies and whatnot, do you see yourself maybe doing a short film?
Yeah, no, seriously, like that's my dream. My dream goal.
Once you get that FX3 pop.
Yeah. You know, that's my dream goal. But it's just, I feel like that's one of those things where like once I carve time out, it'll be something that I can truly focus on. And you know, once I'm secure.
JDM film or what?
Maybe, dude. JDM, maybe.
I remember that. Damn.
Oh, man. Yeah. Joel, pleasure having you, man.
Let's get to our frame of the week, man.
Yes, sir.
So frame of the week is going to go to...
I knew this was happening, bro.
Bro, do you still say the name?
Something? Photos?
We're not trying to laugh. You'll see it here in front of Joel's face.
It's dramatic.
It'll be linked in the description. I believe I don't want to sound ignorant, but I believe she's like maybe Russian. Like the text looks kind of like
Locations is Russian, bro. Yeah.
And the caption is "Beauty in the Frame." Oh, you get that? Get it? Get it? Damn. But I think it's a dope, pretty. It's a pretty cool image. It's like a swipe portrait sesh. It's very angelic looking. Yeah,
very soft.
Yeah, very soft. Exactly. Dreamy looking. Yeah, it's very dreamy looking. It's a beautiful image. Appreciate you supporting the podcast and thanks, all the man. Way from
Russia.
Some shit over there. But yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
But yeah, dude. Joel, man, where can people find you?
Bacor.media on Instagram and Jolito.esp.
Bro, why do you not have an avatar?
on my Instagram?
Yeah.
I just took it down because I'm still looking for my profile picture. I don't know yet.
So dang. The photo I took of you at the wedding was pretty trash.
I'll get it out.
Where can people find you, man?
PeterColinFrames.com, PeterColinFrames on Instagram.
Do you have a website? Where could people find you in the San Bernardino area? What?
No website.
I'm surprised. You're so business oriented, man. Website.
We took it down after
Do you not believe
name.
In websites?
No website.
People can find me at Instagram, @A_Mendoza_, and AlbertoVisuals.com. One last tip for the gang. Anything else before you take off?
Thank you guys for having me. Congrats on the publishing.
Oh, thank you, bro.
Pete, man. Congrats on the publishing, man.
Next episode. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Well, man, that's going to be episode 62 of In the Frame Podcast. We'll catch you on episode 63. Peace.